What a compelling guest, Daryl Sims. Lots more to talk with him about when we come back. You know, earlier he was talking about these implants, and he said that if we, you know, can figure out the technology, the chances are that it's been done here. If we can't, of course, it's extraterrestrial, possibly. So let's find out if it's a black ops program here, what that all means. We'll take your phone calls, too. So get ready on Coast to Coast AM. Daryl, we'll take calls in just a moment. Earlier, we were talking about the possibility of extraterrestrials planting implants or a black ops type program on this planet, maybe from this country. If it's a black ops program, what are they up to, Daryl? What do you think?
Well, there are plenty of websites out on the internet that can address that probably far better than I. But basically, what we have found in some of the implant work is, in fact, obvious human technology in some of these small devices. The difficulty I have in assessing those particular things that we found is that I do not have a history, a medical history, that I can say definitively that what was given to me is in fact came from the human body.
Mm-hmm.
I've got several objects that again the claim was that they're when I asked the question, where's the surgery report, you know, these are things I have to have before I can stand up and say thus saith, you know, and this is it. I mean, I was there in my surgeries. We've either performed or been part of 23 surgeries thus far. We have a cardiovascular surgeon that handles our work now.
That's a lot.
And that's, I mean, for us to put out that kind of money and to do that sort of thing for surgeries, we must have a pretty good idea of what it is we're looking for.
Are they biological objects or are they metallic?
You are so far ahead of the game.
I am a hybrid.
Interesting here. Remember I told you I made four predictions in front of every those 250 surgeons I did the presentation.
Right.
And this was a paid presentation for 250 surgeons in this program. And they're all sitting there, white, pasty-faced, looking at me. You know, they can't believe this stuff is going on. It's true. And all I'm presenting is just evidence, asking them to prove me wrong. And I said, obviously, the first thing was that the objects will, if they are alien, they will produce no inflammatory response, either chronic or acute, in the surrounding tissue. The second thing is that the surrounding objects will also contain tissue that's not native to that area of the body. The third thing is we will find that there will be some of human manufacture. This will be distinct from the alleged alien implant. The features will be clear. The alien object, implanted or embedded, will show no discernible technology. None. There's the rub. Everything you know or probably think you know about an alien implant is wrong.
Tracking?
It isn't a transponder. It is not a tracking device.
No.
And it isn't a bunch of other stuff that people think it is.
Is it a mood-altering device? A mind-altering device?
You're so sharp. Again, we have found in abductees that altered levels of serotonin, dopamine, and other neurochemicals, particularly those two. And when I had our neuropsychologist discuss this with me, she says, you mean tell me that you found altered levels of serotonin and dopamine in these people? I said, yes. I said, what does that mean to you? She says, anyone that controls your serotonin or dopamine owns you. They can control your moods or anything else about
you. Fascinating.
So whether it's an alien or whether it's someone else. The last thing that I predicted in front of these doctors was the real implanted objects that I'm really looking for are not the ones that we're going to find and we already have found in x-rays and MRIs and so on. In fact, we've got one in midbrain right now that doctors in one state are absolutely stunned over because the inductee has not said a word to them. He just let them find it. And it's in midbrain, and there's no trauma to how it got. I mean, it's not a part of a fragment of anything. And it's bigger than a BB, and it's in midbrain. He couldn't have been born with it, so how to get in there? But what I'm more interested in is not even that. What I'm interested in are the real objects that I'm looking for that I've suspected for some time, which are simply biologically implanted masses. These tiny masses, in my opinion, will respond and do some rather amazing things from just the pathology. They, in my view, once we find them, will be central nervous system or CNS brain cells in that location. In other words, you will have a miniature brain located apart from the motherboard of your own brain.
That's something. You know, I've been sitting here while we've been doing the interview tonight, and every once in a while during a break, I'll doodle, and I've been doodling aliens. I wonder how many people have been doing that.
Oh, I have got to tell you something. Please give me this just a moment. I had just received an email on the break that has just got to be, it is just exactly what we're talking about. And this person's talked to me several times, but I want to share with you just three sentences.
Sure.
of that email. It is the lady's husband says, she's listening to your program right now. He has a pea-sized lump removed from his left testicle back in 1997. Remember what I told you about the stats? That a small lump on a testicle mm-hmm. will show up and so on and so on. And the information you're imparting to the radio is just brand new to Jeff and me, and we are just astonished. Oh, by the way, my husband is Irish descent and has a severe allergy to the cane anesthetic.
45% and 31%.
Wow.
To the phones we go. You ready?
Ready.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I made one call the first time when you had your Egyptian guy with the pyramids over there. But that's Maryland. I came from a very old culture. Let me give you a little background here.
Sure.
My people from India, but I was born in Guyana, South America, in Amazon. So, I live with American Indians there, although I'm the Indian. And, being from that background, we took the culture back to Guyana also. And there, the people who are very religious, they come across this kind of phenomena there in terms of individuals or females mostly get inseminated with unseen, and they concluded that because of the old culture, there is a physical presence there, an unseen physical presence, and this physical presence is what is doing that to individuals. So it's been going on for over a period of time. And
do you believe it's extraterrestrial?
I don't believe in extraterrestrial. Number one, I believe it's parphysical, and what is this is existing in this world. And because of this time and age, the same paraphysical manifests itself to that technology to lure our consciousness trapped into that suspended animation so that we think along the way that there are aliens coming from other world. But it is what is existing in this sphere and this energy sphere in that respect.
Do you want to react to that, Daryl, at all?
Sure. The fact is that no one really knows where these entities come from. They lie, and they lie consistently. That's been proven in the literature by everyone from Keel to Hopkins, myself, and many other people, Jacques Vallée, many others, eminent people who have given testimony to the fact that these entities are not truthful. The fact is that they've been hiding in every culture, literally, and in my presentations when I speak publicly for UFO groups or even to colleges and other places I speak, the fact is I go through a whole plethora of where these entities show up in history. And the fact is that they're in every culture.
Every
From
culture.
American Indians, yep. It doesn't make any... Everywhere.
Maybe since the beginning of human time.
Well, for instance, I'm on the way to do a conference in Turkey. On the way over, I meet this guy who is Turkish. And we get to talking, and he says, well, what do you do? So I told him. And he sits there fascinated for several hours listening. And then I says, well, tell me some things about, he said, well, we don't have anything like that in Turkey. I said, okay, that's fair. Tell me about the gin. And he gets real quiet and he says, you know about the gin? I said, yes. And he starts describing alien abduction using different words.
Yes.
It's the same thing. They will take you away. They can do terrible things to you. Even the stories of the little fairies and everything. Our stories today, what we have of the fairies, aren't the stories they had way back then. If you meet the little people out in the woods and you don't, if they don't like you, things don't go well, you can disappear.
We romanticized these little creatures where a long time ago they were pretty demonic.
The problem is, in the UFO community, they're still doing it.
How'd you get called the alien hunter, anyway?
I got called the alien hunter by a lady who was doing an interview with me in Atlanta. In fact, it was during the same time that I got the call from the doctor to come do the presentation to these 250 surgeons. And the lady listened to my interview, and she says, oh, my God, you hunt them. I said, what do you mean? You're hunting the entities that hunted you and your son. I said, that is correct. I said, I hunt them that hunted me.
You've gone right after them.
I said, now the predator.
You're Fox Mulder again.
So that's just the name of the game for me. And the problem is, in a nutshell, and I know I speak for many people out there when I say this, because I've been there. When I saw my 5-year-old son, the victim of alien abduction, and he described the entities in detail, you say, well, he saw the movies. No, that's the problem. You see, in his first abduction, you know, my last one, as horrible as it was, well, in his first one, he saw the same entity that black guy drew.
And ran out. He never came back, did he, that guy?
He never came back. My son encountered that at 5 years old. So no one implanted that thought in his mind, and he's sitting there describing it. And my son had a real tough life growing up as a teenager, and I asked him, I said, son, when did all your problems really start? I mean, you know, you just seemed to change like overnight. He said, Dad, he said, it was after that event.
Just like you.
He said, I was never the same. He said, it's like I lost my childhood. And usually these people have large lumps of their childhood missing. They can't even recall most of it. It's just awful.
East of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Morning.
Yeah.
Well, I've been experiencing what you might want to call abductions for as long as I can remember. About a year or so back, I noticed something in my inner thigh. And I actually dug in to try to remove it. I got a hold of it with a clamp, and I was pulling on it, and it was literally like pulling teeth. I finally got this thing out. When I got the bleeding stopped, I took it in the kitchen. I could not cut this thing with a razor blade.
What did it look like? How big was it?
It looked like a tiny, soft watermelon seed. It was the consistency of like silicone film, you know.
Okay.
Negative film. And now, a year or so later, I got something there again.
How deep was it?
It was just below the surface. You could feel just a slight lump there. And it was, I knew it was new. It was itching.
Daryl, is there any way people such as, and you, what was your name?
Steve.
Steve. Can obtain this almost like a sliver accidentally, maybe from, you know, some machine part or something?
Absolutely. We
That does happen.
With our last surgery we performed out in California with, again, our medical and scientific team present, and also some top people in MUFON, Don Waldrop, Jolene Ray Harrington, and others witnessing the event. The cardiovascular surgeon and I and a brain surgeon were looking at this object in this man's leg. It was our opinion that the object, since the man was a mechanic, very possibly it was just a shard of metal. Now, the problem was that the guy, in our opinion, was in fact a real abductee. He had like 7 scoop marks, these strange scoop marks that people sometimes get after an abduction. He had 7 of them in a row down his leg. No question that the man's valid and honorable and all that. But it was our contention that it was more likely that this, simply because it was magnetic and because it was in the location it was in the leg, that was in fact that's exactly what we found. However, in this gentleman's case, in Steve's case, I believe Steve, in his case, first of all, I would like to obviously know, does he still have the object? Number two is I'd like for him to go get an X-ray on his leg where this happened again, and get a good X-ray accounting of it. And if you would, contact me. I mean, I'm on the email, my website there, and people can contact me. Just click on the Alien Hunter on my website, and it's getting hit pretty heavy right now.
Oh, yeah. Do you have, like, a checklist for people who think they've been abducted? And do you recommend hypnosis for everyone?
I certainly don't recommend hypnosis for everyone. In fact, a man called me recently and begged me to tell him. He said, am I an abductee or not? I said, well, first of all, partner, I can't make you an abductee or make you not an abductee. I can't do anything. He says, well, I want to explore this. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, okay. I said, are you happy? Yes. Can you live without this? He said, yes. I said, don't do it. Please don't do this. You will never be the same. Once you open Pandora's box, you're never going to get this door closed again. I had to know, so I opened it willingly. You don't have to do that. He said, well, I do. And so I said, okay. So he went to his mother and told her everything that he suspected as a child. He came back horrified to me. He says, she not only said it was true, but she was conscious. He said, I remembered her standing there when I came back in one of my events, and she was standing there in the room when I came back. When they dropped me off, she said, yeah, but they never harmed you. Well, what am I going to do now? I said, I told you not to open the box. I told you not to do it. Hypnosis is, first of all, there are a lot of people, in my opinion, do not know how to deal with an abductee. Hypnotizing someone and saying, go back and remember this, doesn't prove anything. In fact, what people don't understand, and I teach this to psychologists and others who want to explore this, the fact is that these entities will layer memory anywhere from 1 to 3 layers deep. That means you can have as much as 3 times wrong information every time you hypnotize a person. A good example, people will fall in 1 or 2 categories as abductees, either those who claim to be abductees, that being defined as people who have horrific events or events which they feel they were taken against their will.
Mm-hmm.
The other people are called contactees and are good people who are people who feel like for whatever reason that their events were benign or good, or even if they weren't, it was supposed to be. And it was our duty to be abducted or whatever. And they feel chosen, special, and all of this. The difference in that, that I have found many times, and I've argued this with John Mack and others clearly, and I keep telling them, I said, you're too new. You're too new to the field. You don't understand this stuff. You're hypnotizing the person's screensaver memory, not the actual memory.
And God rest the soul of John Mack. We'll be back with Daryl Sims, the rest of your final phone calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. I'll find out why all of America is beginning to tune into that predictions program. Many of them pretty startling. Those of you who must have missed it on your cable show, not to worry, because you can go to www.predictions.tv and you can view it right there on your computer in the comfort of your own home. Predictions.tv. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk about this staph infection that is racing through the country, in some cases shutting down schools. Nobody knows how to stop it. We'll talk about it on Coast to Coast AM. Daryl, can potential abductees fight off the abduction? Is there anything people can do, or are we just hopeless? You know, are we at their beck and call?
Oh, that's why they call me the Alien Hunter. Because I don't believe for an instant that anyone is in a situation whereby they cannot defend or do something. We have not been slothful in our work. One of the things that we do in helping these people as well is to figure out things that might be able to help people. In one case, and how this all started was not my brilliant idea. It was the brilliant idea of one of my abductees who's now deceased. She passed away. I've known her for over 10 years. I've worked with her family for over 10 years, a husband, wife, and a daughter. And she came to me crying one night saying that her captors had informed her that if she gave any more information to our team, that they would come after her children.
Hmm.
Well, I told her, I said, I'm going to tell you something. And I said, I know you're all upset, but I have to tell you that that's an empty threat. She says, what do you mean? I said, if they're coming after your children, they already do have them. They don't take people as abductees because they look nice or they don't like them or something like that. It's not, your abductions are not based on anything like that. It's not contagious. There are reasons they're getting you. And I said, so if they get your children, I said, I assure you it's because they're already doing it. And we later found that out to be true. One of them was deaf, it just had some horrific problems with him. But the long and the short of it was she cried and cried and says, well, you've got to show me how to protect myself. I said, young lady, I said, I'm getting better evidence and more evidence from just you and your case than I am from all abductees I have all at one time. And I hate to do that. She says, why? I said, because if you stop the abductions and stuff, why? I'm losing my best client. Said, you're as much a guinea pig for me as you are for them.
You'd be out of a job.
And she says, I know, but I've got to help. You've got to help me. And I said, well, the humanitarian thing for me to do and the Christian thing for me to do is to help you, and I will. I said, so I need some, there's some things I need to do, and I'm going to have to install amnesia, so you're not going to know what it is I did or didn't do. And she says, what do you mean? I just looked at her and smiled, and I had a commercial airline pilot who was in hypnotherapy training for this specific work at the time. And I looked at her and smiled and says, sleep. And she just fell over. Then I installed a post-hypnotic suggestion for her to assault her captor and tear his eye cover off.
Wow.
In other words, I want Freddy Krueger's hat.
Yeah, yeah.
You claim it's a dream. I know it's not a dream. You are still wondering. Bring me Freddy Krueger's hat, and we got a deal. Well, she calls back about 3 weeks later over the phone. Her husband's quite excited, and he says, he says she feels like she's failed at something, and she doesn't understand. I said, put her on the phone. And I said, he's got these big hearing aids, and I said, turn your hearing aids down. He says, why? I said, because you're going to go into trance, too. I have to know. And he said, okay. So I hypnotized her over the phone just to get this information, just to see if there's anything. I mean, I'm so excited by what may have happened. And she actually assaulted her captor, tore half of his eye cover off, got it half off before he took off and ran away. And she describes in great detail the red eye, a stippled screened eye underneath the black eye cover. Because we've known for years that this is nothing but a
shield.
It's the cosmic sunglasses or whatever you want to call it. It's part of the system they use to see in the infrared, ultraviolet, and visible range at the same time, in my view. And at that time, when I finally broke the story, I got a lot of bad press for it because people said, you hypnotized her and made her think that. You lied and you did this. And, well, within a few years, about 4 years later, an incident happens in Varginha, Brazil, where a UFO crashes and all the entities that were on board are in the city of Varginha, Brazil. They're rounded up by the local police and whoever can find them. Military police officer actually catches one bodily and later dies.
He dies six months later. Some virus or something.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Sure. And the bottom line is that every one of them, all the investigators from Brazil called me and said, man, you're light years ahead of everybody. I said, why do you think that? He said, every one of our entities down here had red screened eyes, just like that lady described years before. She wasn't lying.
You are.
That's, my abductees aren't lying. I know when they're hallucinating or not. That's what I'm trained to do.
What great research. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Daryl Sims. Hi there.
Hi, this is Julia from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Julia. It's all yours.
I was wondering if maybe you could tell me how I could find out what this little guy was trying to tell me, because you're the first person that I've heard describe what the little guy that I saw. He looked like that. And he was trying to tell me something, and I can't remember. And I'm an artist, and I can draw anything I can see in my head, and I can't draw this guy. I've tried hundreds of times.
You're in Austin?
Yes, sir.
I'm in Houston.
Yes, I heard you say that.
And it's good, entirely possible that, in fact, I'll be up there for a handwriting conference, I think in a month or so. Worst case scenario, we can meet, you can come here or whatever, and we can talk. But I'm going to tell you a great secret. Your eyes access what the brain thinks, 99% of it.
Mm-hmm.
The body feels what the brain thinks, 55% of it through the physiology. The voice literally says what the brain thinks with 38% of the pitch, timbre, and loudness. Only 7% or the words that you're trying to use that you're having a difficult time,
yes,
has to do with your real consciousness. It's the other 93% that we need to work with. In fact, it is highly likely that I'll be able to have you drawing pictures and doing all kinds of interesting things and remembering things in great detail.
Well, I've got to find out. I mean, it's extremely important to me, and I've got to find out. And I'm Irish with a little bit of Indian. I can't take Novocaine. It doesn't work.
You have no idea how many people. I've just been reading my email, and I mean, I've Indians and Celtics and others off the wall writing me. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Many of them with cane allergies or cane, procaines don't work.
Yeah, I have vasovagal. I faint with pain. I can't take pain. I have to have... I know that's totally irrelevant, but if I could just find out what they were trying to tell me, and I know...
Well, do you have email?
Yes.
Okay, I want you to email me.
Okay.
My email is on my website.
Okay.
You can just click on alienhunter.org, and it'll go through to me, or hit any of those, and it'll come to me. And identify yourself, and I promise I will help you.
Thank you very much.
That's fine.
Thank you.
A lot of people out there, Daryl, that are having these experiences seem to be very frustrated.
Many of them that I have on email, some of them are absolutely terrified. And one person said, I did not want to hear the show tonight because it was, in fact, about alien abduction. After I started hearing you describe my native background and the rest of my stuff and the other things that fit, says I was just horrified. He says I can't get away from the show. I mean, this is so relevant.
When is the book Fluorescence, Bringing the Evidence to the Light, coming out?
It is going to be. I'm self-publishing, so it'll come out fairly quickly. I'm getting the last read on it right now, and those who want to contact me about it are welcome to. But it'll be out when I speak at Roswell every year there with Stanton Friedman and other wonderful people.
Well, you let us know when it's ready, and we'll get you back on for
Thank
that.
You so much. You're a hero. You really are.
Wild Card Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, George? This is Cord in Spokane, Washington. Actually, Cord Cronkite.
I love that name.
Yeah.
It's a good name.
Cronkite. Man, I love you, Joe, and I just had a couple quick things.
Sure, Court.
The question that I had actually experienced is one of those shadow people about last year. I saw one at the foot of my bed, and then I traveled through Roswell just right after those hurricanes. I went down there for the hurricane, but I traveled through Roswell, and I saw another picture of the shadow beings. They have that little museum there in Roswell.
Yes.
And I'd heard about it on the show, too. And so I was wondering if Daryl had any good facts on the shadow people. And I also had a question for the devil, since you're going to be interviewing him, and it's a good one. Ask him if he's the one that created the alien beings to copy God. That's all.
All right. Well, we'll remember that for the devil. What about shadow people, which a lot of people seem to see, Daryl?
The shadow people, they're in my book, there's one section that we're actually going to include, which is actually a book in itself, but we're going to include one section, and it's called The Alien Hierarchy. Now, how I view, as you can see how much difference my data is from a lot of the people here, other investigators. My view of the alien hierarchy is vast and different as anything you can imagine. The shadow people are part of that hierarchy. And in other words, the way that people, most UFO people or people in the phenomena period, whether UFO related or not, view the alien is basically the usual suspects lineup. Something like a Bigfoot and then a human type of a Nordic and then a taller doctor type gray or a mantis being and then a little tiny gray, that sort of thing, and then a little watcher with a little hood on and
yes.
so on. That sort of thing. That is not the way this program functions. That's the way it has been assembled because it makes sense to us. That doesn't mean that that's the way it is. It just makes sense to us. And, in fact, I had, of all people, a theologian talking to me at Roswell, and he says, I can't quite put the theology together that I have as a scholar with the alien phenomena, yet I know both are totally true. And I said, well, they actually are. Both of them are. I said, the problem is you can't marry them because you don't know how to quite do this. And I said, let me give you an example. I said, I said, give me one example. He said, the chupacabra. And I said, okay, good example. He said, I mean, that's not in the Bible. I said, how do you know that? He says, well, it's not. And I said, answer me one question strictly from scholarship. And he said, okay. I said, what is the horse leech mentioned in the scripture in Proverbs? His face turned white as a sheet. And he said, well, it's a, I said, forget the word metaphor. Answer the question. He said, well, it's a vampire. I said, it's a creature that sucks blood.
Which could be a chupacabra.
I said, that's a long time ago, isn't it? Well, I mean, so you, anyway, the hierarchy that I'm going to show in the book is going to answer this young man's questions, I think, far in excess than anything he ever dreamed.
Back to the phones. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello. This is James in Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, James, go ahead.
Hello. Yes, I wondered if your guest, I'm sure he's probably familiar with it, but I wondered if you could comment on the CIA's MK Ultra program and the similarities between the UFO abductions and actual satanic ritual abuse and the CIA's MK Ultra program. Are you familiar with that?
I am familiar with a number of these programs. First of all, it would take a show to answer all of the questions you've asked, but I'll see if I can do the best I can and hopefully do justice to some of your things here. Dr. Carla Turner, before she passed away, a dear friend of mine, called me wanting, when she heard that I had done post-hypnotic suggestions that helped abductees, she wanted me to give post-hypnotic suggestions to people who had these alleged military, my lab type abductions. In other words, humans were doing the abducting on these people. And she said, if you could do that, you could like help these people, and I would like for you to do that. And we had a tough discussion about it, and I said, we don't want to do that. And she said, why not? And I said, okay, suppose I take one of these wonderful people who, let's say their story is absolutely and totally true, and it is the military that's doing this. And I said, I don't think it is, but let's assume that it is. And I said, because the problem I have with that, I said, the underground base these people are always taken to is right in their local neighborhood. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. So Here's the situation, and this person is abducted. All of a sudden, I give this post-hypnotic suggestion, and for whatever reason, they wake up at the right time. Well, the guy's smoking a cigarette. He's M16 staying over there. He's away from it. She picks up M16. She's in an underground base, got the M16. I mean, she's already popped the round in it, and she's got it on full automatic, and she says, all right, guys, I'm going to shoot you if you do anything stupid. And all of a sudden, she opens fire. If that story's true, and I don't think it is, but if it is, she's never going to leave that place alive. Now you just had me to help end the life of one of these dear people because you wanted them helped in a way that wasn't really appropriate. I said, why don't we do something that works, something that's nonviolent, something that might bring back evidence or something to, because these people, by and large, come back undamaged, so to speak. They don't come back dead, or there'd be these dead bodies everywhere. So there's a good chance you could get evidence. And that, to me, is what's important here. We have to support these claims with evidence. And when I hear people tell me stories that these guys are coming in with these Army uniforms or military uniforms or Navy uniforms, why in the world would anybody from the Navy or Air Force or any intelligence outfit wear their uniform with their name tag on it so you could recall it? I mean, that none of that makes sense to me. Now, the question is, did MKUltra exist? Of course it did. Were there terrible things? Of course there were. And no question of that. Things like that have happened.
In the final moment we have here, Daryl, let me ask you quickly, in your best opinion, your best guess, what do they want? What's the agenda?
Oh, that's wonderful. You're so hot. The best answer that I can give you about this is the alien agenda is simply an intelligence problem. It always has been, and the only one I even know that even remotely close understands it was a man who told Jacques Vallée the same thing, an intelligence agent, because I was an intelligence business. That's what this is. It's a small portion of what these aliens do is collecting medical and physical evidence. That's not what it's about. It isn't about science. It is much more close to the fact that they may be trying to breed out things from us rather than things into us to make things better.
Yeah,
we may be in a lot more trouble than we think. And in fact, the DSP satellite, the spy satellite seen in the movie Enemy of the State, is an example. Two of those people that work on those are dear friends of mine, and they will tell you right off the bat that that's a $125 million UFO detector.
My gosh, that'll be part two, Daryl, when your book's ready. We'll get you
anytime
back for that, my friend. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
Daryl Sims, the alien hunter. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I shall see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.